right. We're going to fourth gear today. Fourth gear. Since my heart surgery, I've been trying to take it up a couple of gears every weekend. So we're getting about fourth gear. I'm hoping to hit, I think I've got seven gears in me. I was thinking five, but I think I have seven. I'm hoping to hit the overdrive by next weekend, Easter weekend. Hey, would you please help me welcome all of our campuses and everyone watching by the internet right now? Come on, let's welcome them in. Good to have you. Great to be here. Glad that you're here. Man, let's get in the Word of God for a few minutes right now. Father, we just ask your blessing on the Word. God, just prepare our hearts right now. We want to have hearts of good soil. And we want to create space for you to move in our lives. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and take them out. You can go to Luke chapter 22 to verse 39. And you can just kind of camp there for a little while. Also, hopefully you picked up the sermon notes on your way in. You can follow us along. There's some fill in the blanks and kind of some extra scriptural references, but we're in a series called The Kingdom of God. And last weekend we talked about kingdom sweat. Everybody say kingdom sweat. And I really need you to pick up, if you weren't here last weekend, please go online and listen to the message or pick up the CD resource out there. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time reviewing, but I do just kind of want to give us a little bit of review. And we looked at Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 12. Where the Apostle Paul was on his third missionary journey. He was in what's now modern day Turkey. He was in a city called Ephesus. Everybody say Ephesus. Ephesus. He was in a city called Ephesus, and it was there in the city of Ephesus that he basically built tents for 2 years while he preached the gospel. And he was able to basically rent a facility, or maybe they just let him use it. A philosophy school there in Ephesus ran by this philosopher Tyrannus. And what the Apostle Paul would do, because this city was on the siesta system, what would happen was it was very, very hot. And so people would go out and they'd open their markets and the workplace, and they would work from about 7 in the morning to 11 in the morning. Then they'd take a break from about 11 to 4. Then they would open everything back up at 4 o'clock and work until 9. So what the Apostle Paul was able to do is he would build tents from 7 to 11. Then in the heat of the day, he would go over to the school of Tyrannus while everybody else was home resting. And he would preach the gospel. He would build disciples. And that's how he built the church there at Ephesus. And then he would do that. And then he'd go back to his tent-making job from 4 in the afternoon to 9 in the evening. And we read the scripture where it talks about during this time, like there was everyone in Asia heard the word of God. There was this incredible move of God here, and God was doing incredible things. And one of the things God was doing was all these supernatural miracles, even through what the Bible says were Paul's handkerchief and apron. And last weekend we looked at that and we realized that wasn't just a little magic hanky or a little hanky that you put in your sports jacket, but it was actually Paul's sweatband that he wore as a tent maker around his head, and his apron, kind of like his construction garb that would get all the dirt and sweat. And what scholars say, or what they speculate, is what would happen is when Paul would finish his first part of the day making tents at 11 o'clock, he would be walking and sweating and pour himself out, and he would get to the school of Tyrannus where he was building the church, and he would take off his sweatband and his apron, and he would just kind of leave them on the side, and he would start preaching. And then when God would begin to move and all that, people would come up, and they found that just by touching his sweatband or his apron, they could be healed, or all these supernatural things could happen. Because the supernatural is in the sweat. There was nothing magic about Paul's sweatband. There was nothing magic about his apron. It was the principle that for these 2 years, he was pouring himself out for the kingdom of God. Man, he was sweating for Jesus. And there's something about when we really put God's kingdom first, and when we really put that energy into advancing God's kingdom, that sweat, that kingdom sweat, so to speak, there's something supernatural about that sweat. It's not a works thing. And we kind of looked up, we kind of did a little bit of a study on sweat. And if you understand what sweat is, it's just when the body heats up on the inside, it has to cool itself on the outside, and so it produces sweat. And that's why when we get surrendered to the Holy Spirit, when we get surrendered to Christ on the inside, He said that I'll baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire, man. And you'll get heated up on the inside, and you'll want to produce some kingdom sweat. We just read those giving testimonies. What you saw there was the supernatural in the sweat. They put their energy, their finances into the kingdom of God, and God did something amazing. And it even says that unusual, everybody say unusual. Unusual miracles were done by the Apostle Paul at this time and during this time when he was really pouring himself out. And I want to let you know that if you want to see really unusual, how many of you have some unusual problems? Do you have some unusual things going on that you need God to intervene? The supernatural's in the sweat. You know, there are things that I have seen in my life, even before I became a pastor. I mean, the things that I have seen, I never thought I would see. Ever since I gave my life to the kingdom of God. Think about your life. Those of you who have been serving Jesus. Those of you who have put Him first. Think about what you've seen God do in your life. Man, we need to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. We need to celebrate Him. You know, I think about Celebration Church, and I think about in 11 years, I never thought I would see God do what He's done. I never in my wildest dreams thought that we'd have all these campuses and churches in Zimbabwe and Costa Rica and about to have one in Europe. I never thought the Dream Center. I mean, what an incredible outreach we got to experience with having that Easter egg hunt for special needs children, usually that never get to participate in those kind of things. The miracles that I've seen, your lives, your marriages, your kids, the stories that we've received here at Celebration Church. Look, this stuff doesn't happen by accident. This stuff happens because a group of people decided to roll up their sleeves and put a little sweat equity into the kingdom of God. Do you realize this coming weekend at all of our campuses, we'll probably have around 15,000 people attend Celebration Church. 11 years ago, I remember our very first Easter service, 182 people, including kids. 182 people, and I can remember thinking, this is a mega church. I can't believe 182 people. I can remember we were in the gym at JCDS, and I remember the chairs. I remember, you know, we had like 170 chairs, and we had to set out 12 extra chairs or whatever. 182 people, and I can remember just thanking Jesus. God, thank you so much. And now 11 years later, it'll probably be around 15,000 people. And you know what? Look, this church has never been built on the sacrifice of one. It's been built on the kingdom sweat of many. So let's give God a hand for what He's done in your lives, huh? The thing about sweat, remember this, the thing about sweat, you got to know. One thing about sweat is it leaves a smell. It leaves a smell, doesn't it? And in your life, I hope in your home and in your kids and at your job, if I showed up there, spiritually speaking, I hope that I could smell that you've been putting out some kingdom sweat. You know, I brought one of my favorite workout shirts. When I used to really work out before my heart surgery. But I will be back. I will be back, baby, with a vengeance. All right, so anyway. This is one of my favorite workout shirts. This shirt, I mean, I can't even tell you when I bought it. I can't believe that it's held together this long. It's got some holes. It's got some stains. It used to be a really, really dark, deep blue. It's kind of a purplish gray. Now, do you see what I'm saying? And if you were up here, I mean, it's even clean. It's even out of the wash. You know what I'm saying? If you smell this shirt, you'd be like, well, I don't know what he's been doing. But what I do know is he's been sweating in this thing. See, this is the evidence that I've been sweating. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If I got up close to your life, could I smell some evidence that you're really sweating for God? If the supernatural is not happening in your life, chances are it's a lack of sweat. I'm not talking about a works thing. I'm not talking about earning things from God. I'm talking about getting heated up by the Holy Spirit on the inside. I'm not talking about a have to. I'm talking about a want to. You know, if you've ever been in any kind of exercise program, have you ever seen those videos? I used to do one, P90X. That's right. I did it for almost 90 days. 30 days. But you know those things, there's like Tony Horton, and some of you maybe did that. What's the Blaine guy? That dude? You don't know. Yeah, man. But why? You don't know. You surf, dude. You know, whatever. But you know, these workout videos. Or maybe Richard Simmons. Did you do Richard Simmons? Oh my goodness. Whatever it is. But what they do is they have someone who's an example. They have someone who's an example leading the way. And then they have all the people in the class that are really examples as well. They're examples, and they're on the video, and they're showing you how to sweat. They're giving testimonies of the benefits of that exercise. And see, Jesus is our sweat leader. He really showed us how to sweat. We're going to look at that in just a second. And that's why it says in 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, be an example to the believers. It talks about in faith and love and purity. In spirit, in all of these things. And I like to say that the church is true believers. We're not the leader. Jesus is the leader. But we need to be like the people in that class. You know what I'm saying? We're sweating, man. We're pouring ourselves out. And if you've ever been in one of those exercise programs, it is addicting. When you sweat like that, you feel so good. You feel so clean. Your body's detoxing. It's just right. When you sweat for God after being heated up by the Holy Spirit, you feel so good. You feel so clean. You're getting the toxins out, so to speak. Because when you turn inward, it is over. But when you turn outward, I don't have a word that rhymes. You know what I'm saying? Are you an example? Think about that word, example. In other words, what if everybody was like you? What if everybody prayed like you? Would we be okay? What if everybody is going to participate in the Kingdom Sweat campaign like you? They're going to invite like you. Is anybody going to come to church next weekend? Husbands, wives, the way you treat your spouse. What if I treated my spouse the way that you treat your spouse? Would my marriage be okay? Would I be all right? Listen, man, I know this can be heavy. But I'm telling you, you can be an example. You can do it. You can have the relationship with God that you've always dreamed about. You can see God do the supernatural in your life, but the supernatural's in the sweat. Amen. I never forget when I was doing that P90X. You know one thing the leader was doing? He'd always talk about it. He said, no matter how you feel, no matter what you do, you show up, you keep pushing play. You keep pushing play. You keep pushing play. Some of you wake up in the morning, you're tired, you don't want to pray. You just keep pushing play. You just keep showing up. You just keep showing up to church. You keep believing God. Man, I'm getting fired up now. Don't make me throw this towel, this shirt at somebody. You keep giving. You keep serving. You keep praying for your kids. You keep coming to the altar. You keep pushing play. You keep pushing play. And all of a sudden, you'll look back on your life and you'll be like, wow, man, there's some sweat going on. I'm now, you reap what you sow. I'm now reaping some great things because I've been sowing in the kingdom. See, kingdom sweat is a good thing. Come on, forget somebody, call somebody. Somebody sweat on somebody. Luke chapter 39. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 22. If you have a 39th chapter of Luke, you got a crazy Bible. See, Jesus sweated for you. Jesus sweated for you. And we're going to take a look at his sweat. It's some serious sweat. Some serious kingdom sweat. Luke chapter 22, verse 39, it says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Let me remind you about the power of prayer. You know, prayer is not just something that we do to bring in what we need, but it is also something to keep away from us the things that we don't need. Remember, prayer not only brings you the right things, but it keeps away the wrong things. You need to pray for your kids. Pray for your family. Pray for yourself. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous, it avails much. It makes a difference. Man, I was up at 4:30 this morning praying for each and every one of you. You know why? Because I know that prayer makes a difference. It wasn't by my strength. It was by the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. I'm not saying it as a brag or as a whatever. I'm just telling you. I'm trying to lead by example. I'm not asking you to get up at 4:30. But you know what? If I'm praying for you, can you at least pray for yourself? If I'm praying for your family, can you pray for your family? He says, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Verse 44, and being in agony. Notice that word there. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat. Everybody say sweat. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So here we have Jesus. This is the night before his crucifixion that we'll be identifying with this Friday. And then, of course, 3 days later, his resurrection that's all about next weekend, Easter weekend. Here's Jesus, and he's at the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Gethsemane means pressed olive or crushed olive. This Mount of Olives, this was the actual place where olives were pressed and crushed for their oil. And here we have Jesus, the olive branch of God, representing peace. What does the olive branch represent? Peace between man and God. Being in agony and being crushed himself so that he could fulfill the will of God, die and rise again. And what did Jesus say? Unless I go away, the Holy Spirit cannot come. What is the Holy Spirit? The oil. He's saying this is so important because right now I'm limited by time and space. I'm just in one body. But if the Holy Spirit, if that oil comes, I'll be Christ in you. I'll be inside each and every one of you. Jesus here is the olive being crushed and pressed so his oil could go out through all the earth. Come on, can you give God some praise? And here's Jesus and the crushing and the pressing that he's enduring right now. It's something that we can't understand. You know, we see Jesus being crucified. I understand there was tremendous physical pain, but I believe with all my heart that the physical pain was probably the least amount of pain that he experienced, even though it was terrible. There's something deeper. There's an agony of soul here going on. There's something about being separated from his Father. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could be the righteousness of God. See, there's something very deep. There's something very profound here that God is about to experience something he has never experienced. And in that soul and in that agony, as Jesus is praying, he is about to experience the full force of the wrath of his own Father. He is about to become the very thing that he despises, sin. He's about to experience all the judgment, all the punishment, all the wrath, all the disappointment that God would ever have for your sins. That's how you know now that God's pleased with you. Why? Because all of the anger that he ever had towards your own sin, he executed that on his own son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, about to experience this, he's in this agony. And the Bible says that his sweat, see, long before the blood flowed from the nail-scarred hands and feet, the blood flowed from his sweat. This is the first time we see the redemptive blood of God begin to flow. See, the supernatural's always been in the sweat. And here's Jesus. This is actually, he's in so much pressure, so much agony. This is a medical condition that they call diabetesis. And it's the passing of the blood through the intact walls of the blood vessels. It's where you could become under such anguish and such pressure and such stress and not pass out. If you don't pass out from that, the blood, it's like there's this mini rupture in the blood vessels, and the blood actually gets out of the blood vessels and into the sweat glands. You talk about some kingdom sweat. You talk about, we think that we're sweating for Jesus. That's some, you know, when we do, with whatever we do, give and serve and invite, can I tell you, oh, Jesus sweated so much more for you. It was redemptive sweat. And here we have Jesus, the second Adam. You remember Adam? The first Adam? Our dysfunctional great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather? That got us all into this mess in the first place. If you go back to Genesis chapter 17, you know what God said? God said, Adam, cursed for his sin, which was our sin. God said, cursed be the ground for your sakes. For now, from now on, you shall get your bread by the sweat of your brow. from now on, the earth will produce thorns and thistles. And there will be a sweat because of your sin. See, here we have Jesus. See, the first Adam stood in rebellion to God through his disobedience. The second Adam, Jesus, is now kneeling in submission to God through his obedience to his will. See, the first Adam, he was expelled from the presence of God. And the curse upon him was the sweat of his brow. The second Adam, Jesus, he's bringing us back into the presence of God. And the very place, the sweat of his brow that was part of the curse of Adam, he's now taking that on and adding his blood to it. Man. He's saying, Adam, I'm redeeming you from the curse. From now on, you don't have just to sweat for your sin, but I've got some kingdom sweat for you. I have some blood for you that'll heal you, that'll wash you, that'll make you whole, that'll bring the supernatural into your life. Oh, man. Come on, everybody say sweat. It's in the sweat. And you know, Jesus had a sweatband too. Remember, we looked at Apostle Paul's sweatband around his head. What was the part of the curse? From now on, thorns and thistles. You might remember Jesus' sweatband. It wasn't a nice handkerchief. It wasn't just a comfortable man. That was Jesus' sweatband for you and I. Can we just celebrate our leader, Jesus Christ, right now, huh? But the interesting thing, even with all this going on, we find the disciples sleeping. And Jesus, he's in agony, he's going through all this, and he comes back to his disciples. He's like, guys, what are you doing? Why are you sleeping? And this is what I want to ask you today at all of our campuses. Are you sweating or are you sleeping? Because, you know, there's really no middle ground. We're either sweating or we're sleeping. We're either moving forward or we're moving backward. And some of us today, we need to wake up. And what Jesus is saying there, he's in agony. It's like he's pouring out sweat of blood. I mean, he's going through all of this. He comes to guys, he's like, man, guys, can't you help me? Don't you see how serious this is? Don't you understand how important this is? Can you just show me that you're with me? Can you just give me a little energy here? Just let me know that you're with me. Do you understand what I'm going through? And it's the same thing today. Listen, dude, are we going to let Jesus know that we're with him? Are we going to go to sleep this week? Or are we going to get out there and invite a few people to church? Are we going to go to sleep this week? Are we going to pray for some family members? Are you going to sleep on those pledge cards today? Are you sleeping? Are you sweating? Because the supernatural is in the sweat. And Jesus led the way. And for all that he's done for us, we love him because what? He first loved us. When I look at Jesus' sweatband, and I realize how much he loved Stovall, and he loves you so, so much, the least I can do is pour out a little sweat for him and let Jesus know, Jesus, I'm with you. I'm with your kingdom. I'm with your cause. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your...
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.